Hey guys, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Jennifer Marie, and you are tuned into the WW Daily Podcast. This is a place to listen in and hear the latest and most important news taking place in the fashion and apparel industry. On today's show, we'll discuss our weekly recap and French fashion designers are speaking out on the Paris terrorist attack. So relax and get ready to soak up important news in the apparel industry as I bring you the latest episode of the WW Daily Podcast. Hey guys, it's your host Jennifer Marie of the WW Daily Podcast. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at WW Daily Podcast and Instagram at WW Daily _ Podcast.
Don't blame me, death, on the shit in your head that you claim ate you like a virus for days on end. Watched you decay, watched you waste away. Who'd you think you'd fool, baby, digging your own? So go ahead, yeah, just drop dead. And while you're trying to fool the whole world, don't forget that you'll decay and you'll waste away. You can't cheat death when you're digging your own grave. You're out of line, don't reach yourself alive and expect it to be fine.
Okay, guys. Thanks for staying with us. I just want to jump into the weekly recap. I want to talk about Wet Seal filing for bankruptcy. Now, this is something that's kind of was going around for a while, sort of being rumored that Wet Seal was going to be closing its doors. Well, the retailer has actually closed 338 of its stores, and it's laid off 3,695 full-time and part-time employees. Following the store closures, the company will still continue to operate 173 of its retail stores, as well as wetseal.com. According to the article in Women's Wear Daily, Wet Seal said it decided to proceed with store closures after, quote, assessing its overall financial condition and the company's inability to successfully negotiate meaningful concessions from its landlords. Ed Thomas, who is the chief executive officer, said the company's financial condition leaves us no other alternative other than to close these doors. He added that the company is doing, quote, everything it can to protect the interest of all of its stakeholders, including its employees. However, did Wet Seal snub its employees, you guys? Well, according to businessweek.com, on January 2nd, employees at a Wet Seal store received a large package in the mail, and the package was wrapped in sort of like this green bubble wrap labeled store project on it. Now, when the employees opened the package, they found instructions to pack the store's iPods, registers, you know, music players and credit card scanners and all that good stuff into the box by the following Wednesday, January 7th. So that basically gave them 1 week to pack up the store and basically themselves. While the associates reportedly did not receive any notification that the stores were closing. Instead, they were told by Wet Seal's corporate offices that the stores were going to be renovating. So instead of being told ahead of time from Wet Seal's corporate offices that they would be closing down the stores and whatnot and giving the associates the appropriate time to figure out what they're going to do and to get new jobs, apparently they just gave them this week's notice. You know, the employees had no idea what was going on. They just received this package in the mail that basically just said, hey, pack everything up and send it back within a week. The store is closing. So, in Wet Seals across the country, irate store managers and sales clerks have posted signs on their store windows outlining such complaints as, quote, we lie to our employees to hide the fact that, yes, our store is closing and gave no warning. Another poster read, told us not to look for jobs, said we were remodeling. Another sign said, unused vacation and sick time unpaid. So these employees are pretty pissed off at Wet Seal. A hashtag boycott Wet Seal campaign has been cropped up on Twitter and on the company's Facebook page and on Reddit message boards. Employees allege that the company has laid them off without any notice at all, unless state law requires otherwise, isn't honoring the vacation or sick days they've saved up. Now, Wet Seal is not the only teen clothing retailer to run into financial trouble recently. Delia's and Deb Shops have both filed for bankruptcy in recent months, according to a 2014 report by Piper Jaffray. Because of online shopping, teens and young adults visit malls about 30% less often than they did a decade ago. So, I mean, that goes to show you that, yeah, retail, you know, storefronts and actually bricks and mortar stores are doing pretty crappy. But it is surprising to hear that Wet Seal closed so many stores and unfortunately did not give its employees any heads up whatsoever as to what was going on, which caused these irate employees to take to social media to express their outrage. Let's talk about Shepard Fairey. So we know who Shepard Fairey is, right? He's the famous graffiti artist, probably most notably recognized for his Obey graffiti art turned fashion line. He started out with Andre the Giant stickers and posters and stuff like that. And then, you know, he ended up doing a fashion line based on his graffiti art. He was the artist who created the legendary Barack Obama Hope poster for the 2008 U.S. presidential election as well. So if you don't know who Shepard Fairey is, look him up. He's a cool dude and he has awesome art. Well, Miami City Ballet has tapped Shepard Fairey to help them with their, basically like their onstage setup. Miami City Ballet choreographer Benjamin Millipede has called on the services of Obey founder Shepard Fairey for his show for the Miami City Ballet. The actual story and program is called Heatscape. While the choreographer was in Miami to stage another project for 2013-14 season, he noticed and came across Shepard Fairey's very colorful street art and was very impressed, and he kind of tracked him down and suggested that they pair up. So if you are interested in catching this and seeing what he's doing with his art, you can catch a glimpse of Shepard Fairey's street art inspired sets during a preview of the ballet on January 18th. So PVH is getting rid of Izod. And if you're not already familiar with Phillips Van Heusen, it's basically an American clothing company which owns a ton of brands such as Tommy Hilfiger, Calvin Klein, Van Heusen, Izod, Arrow. There's a couple of licensed brands as well that they own, including BCBG, Max Azria, Chaps, Sean John, Kenneth Cole, New York, and Michael Kors. So Phillips Van Heusen has decided to close 120 Izod stores in the U.S. and Canada in an effort to apparently reduce its retail exposure of its heritage brands. 20 of them will be converted to Calvin Klein or Tommy Hilfiger brand stores, with the remaining 100 units to be closed. The closure of Izod stores would leave PVH with just one brand, Van Heusen, in the retail portion of its heritage business. The company in November 2013 sold its Boss business to G3 Apparel Group, which accounted for about 45% of Heritage's retail revenues. So essentially, Heritage was kind of going out of the window anyway, and they just sort of concluded with Heritage in terms of shutting down those Izod stores. Have you guys seen the Calvin Klein ads for Justin Bieber? So apparently the singer sort of caught the attention of the brand about a year ago when he posted some pics of himself in his Calvin Klein's using the hashtag MyCalvins. So he sort of did this, and this caught the attention of the brand. Now they are comparing his photo to the famous Mark Wahlberg and Kate Moss Calvin Klein shoot. And I know you guys know which one I'm talking about. It's super famous photo shoot with Mark Wahlberg and Kate Moss. Now, Mark Wahlberg was always kind of like a badass, like hot guy, you know, and I just feel like Justin Bieber is just, he's kind of corny. So to compare the two is just kind of like not happening in my mind. I just think it's kind of silly. I also thought that, you know, Mark's pictures looked very natural compared to Bieber's pictures, which, you know, he looks overly stuffed. It's kind of comical how photoshopped it does look. I was kind of browsing online and realized and noticed that Mark Wahlberg's wife took to Twitter to voice her opinion on the shoot. Now, in her Twitter messages, one of them says, "Just going to say this, ... Did you ever hear the song #? Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby." So, obviously referring to the overstuffed Justin Bieber photos. She also went ahead and tweeted a message saying, "My baby," referencing her husband, "was the first and the best, and not to mention, wow, the retouching." So she's referencing that Justin Bieber was retouched in his photos. So basically this photo with Justin Bieber and this model went from being this sort of, you know, interesting photo that was out there, all of a sudden it became this sort of controversial thing with the whole photoshopping. So in the meantime, Justin Bieber's team is insisting that the Calvin Klein ads were not photoshopped. And at this point, they're actually threatening a lawsuit. So we'll see what happens there. I doubt that they're actually going to sue someone for saying that his images were photoshopped. But apparently, Justin Bieber's team can prove that someone came out with a sort of Photoshop version of what he really looked like. But apparently Justin Bieber's team is claiming those photos that are out there for the Calvin Klein shoot are real. They're not anything that's Photoshop. So I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I just thought it was interesting to see Justin Bieber for Calvin Klein. I just kind of was not expecting that. So I think they would have done better choosing a different guy. There's so many options out there to choose, you know, a young sort of like built dude. There's a lot of different options, but again, Justin Bieber sort of sought out Calvin Klein in his own way and sort of gained attention for that hashtag, which in turn got Calvin Klein's people's attention. And so that's how the whole thing kind of came about. Stay tuned for the first story. Okay, so for the first story, I kind of want to talk about everything that's kind of going on in Paris right now and how it's sort of affecting the fashion industry. I ran across an article in Women's Wear Daily, and it was entitled "Speaking Out, French Designers Backing Charlie." So if you're not exactly sure what was going on in Paris and what's all gone down over there, I'll kind of break down quick. So on January 7th, two masked gunmen forced their way into the offices of French satirical weekly newspaper Charlie Hebdo in Paris, France. The attack killed 12 people, including the editor, 7 other Charlie Hebdo employees, and 2 national police officers. The gunmen were armed with AK-47 assault rifles and an RPG launcher and wounded 11 others before escaping by car. Now, several French designers are speaking out about what's been going on. The magazine, like I said, it was a French satirical weekly newspaper. So it sort of, you know, made fun of different religions and things of that nature. And that's what sort of, I guess, got this whole thing going, unfortunately. And it's really sad and it's sort of disgusting and it's horrible. But Jean-Paul Gaultier and his team posed for a group picture holding signs bearing "I am Charlie" in French. Now, the slogan has swept across social media and become the nation's unofficial rallying cry in the wake of the attack. Karl Lagerfeld told Women's Wear Daily, quote, "It's horrible. I've been physically sick. I think it's very bad for the image of Paris, though I'm very much so against French bashing." He noted that his collaborator, Lady Amanda Harlick, was blocked for 90 minutes in traffic because of the heightened security. He says a bad omen for the upcoming round of fashion shows. Lagerfeld said government officials must address the fact that Paris is seen as an increasingly dangerous place. He said tourists might not like that, but that's just what it is. The terror strike also puts into context the typical worries of designers preparing for the shows in March. Later this month, Paris will host the twice-yearly couture and menswear shows. It is likely that the security will be reinforced at the entrance to the respective venues. Now, French authorities have raised the terror threat level to the highest possible level. It will be up to the fashion houses themselves at this point as to whether or not they want to show its collections in Paris. Xavier Romnet, president of Condé Nast France, said in quote, "The heavy toll that the Charlie Hebdo team has taken reminds us that to express one's opinion is an essential value." He goes on to say, "More than ever, we have to defend it without giving in," he insisted. He says this in a group joint statement with seven other editors, including Vogue, Vanity Fair, Glamour, and GQ. Editorial director of Elle France says that we are all shocked. Our photo team did this tribute wall with all of the visuals of support they gathered from social networks. She goes on to say, "We are advancing the publication date of next week's issue from Friday to Wednesday. We'll have contributions from designers, actresses, artists, writers, and so forth. A woman's magazine has to report the news. It's our role as citizens and as women." In the coming days, Liberation will once again provide a temporary home for the Charlie Hebdo staffers, who revealed that they plan to pull together a survivor's issue of 8 pages versus the usual 16. Since the attack, the weekly has received multiple offers of financial assistance, subscriptions, or material support. Meanwhile, dozens of copies of this week's issue, which sold out within hours of the attack, are apparently appearing for sale on eBay. So, I mean, a lot going on here. I just kind of wanted to give a touch on what's going on in terms of fashion with everything that's going on in Paris. Our hearts go out to anyone that was, you know, hurt in this attack and anyone that was affected. It's really just something that's super sad, and we give our total support here at the WW Daily Podcast. For more information on everything Charlie Hebdo, you can visit the website at charliehebdo.fr, and there is an option to translate the site as well to English if need be. So that will do it for this week's episode of the WW Daily Podcast. As always, thanks for tuning in, and be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic. Thanks, of course, for your continual support, and be sure to tune back in for an all-new episode of the WW Daily Podcast.
WW Daily Podcast. WW Daily Podcast.